given to the marketplace. Years of wisdom walking with you, Lord, just decades and decades of experience with you. And we thank you that you have called us to be a man of God and to speak to the gathering place, to be a pastor. We pray your anointing on him this morning as you would use him to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm working now. I was working before when I wasn't supposed to be working, right? So it's all good. It's all good. So like chapter 3 or session 3 of warfare, it was in preparing for this, it was, I didn't expect it, but, I should have expected that I'd be entering into some warfare myself. In preparation, and we're gonna open up some things this morning that I guarantee you that you'll receive freedom. It's really opening up some strategies the enemy has that have affected generations, and it's gonna be done with. So, Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. And Father God, your word is what speaks to all those who believe in you. Hold up your word of truth this morning, Father God, that we'll know the truth, and the truth will lead us into freedom. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Of all places, scriptural preparation for what God's going to do this morning. And it comes out of Revelation chapter 9. And it's about a release of things that came upon the earth, the fifth and sixth. And chapters later, it talks about the seventh. And in mind, just kind of a review of that chapter is that Jesus spoke in Matthew and said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And he also talked about kingdoms coming against kingdoms. Chaos. And we're seeing the unfolding of some of that in chapter 9. Now, I'm not a scholar of end times theology, but I can see what the Holy Spirit is saying in this chapter for the church today. I can see it. And it talks about, in that chapter, it talks about some horrific things coming upon the earth that the people of the earth would say, if only I could die. That's how drastic that, if only I could die, but death could not come. That's stressful. That's a stress-filled life. That's like maybe we've gone to a place that, man, I wish I could die. But we forgot that the word says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. It talks about the kingdom of the demonic fully released to destroy. Fully released to destroy. It talks about a destruction like the earth has never seen from the hand of men. One third of the world, and that's a lot of people, are killed. That's kind of what it opens up with. But what we're going to deal with is some statements made at the end of that chapter 9. At the end of that chapter 9. And that's verse 20 to 21. And the rest of mankind who were not killed by those plagues still did not repent of their works of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons, the idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood. idols that cannot see, nor hear, nor walk, nor did they repent of their murders, magic arts, sensual immorality, and stealing. What's the work of their hands? You know, we've got it together, guys, when everything is falling apart. Worshipping demons, the enemy sneaking into the lives of people and distorting truth. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Idols, gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood. I saw an equal temptation, to chase after someone else other than God, whether rich or poor. Gold, silver, bronze, stone, and just wood. No one on the planet Earth was exempt from the spirit of Antichrist leading people to worship something else other than God. And Nancy, you're amazing taking all you guys 2 pages. I can't get messed up on pages. Murders. I don't need to talk about that. Mass killing of unborn children in our generation. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22. And you had heard that it said that people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders was to be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother and sister, Raca, is ready to face the court. Answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of fire of hell. So watch out when you say, when somebody cuts you off on the street. So, murder becomes the natural event of mankind. You know what? I want to stop and pause there, because as the body of Christ, watch out that we're not murdering our brothers and sisters by the words that come out of our mouth. That our mouth is so geared to speak life into people and not death. Magic arts. There's a implication there that it's about experience euphoria with drugs. We have a society and a world that is seeking their buzz from either alcohol or drugs. Sexual immorality. That's rampant in our society. I was watching Huckabee last night, and a woman was giving her testimony at in his show, and the trouble is, I've known other cases. This is not, unfortunately, it's not uncommon in the body of Christ. This woman had a 19-year-old child that was run over by her sister and killed, which brought turmoil to their family. And And so where they went to the church, and all three sisters in their time of need was sexually abused by the pastor. And her daughters were sexually abused by the pastor for 5 years. And she stuffed it and never said anything about it. Until God brought her into freedom. I tell you guys, the church needs to be a safe place, not a place of predators. Thieves are stealing, getting ahead at the cost of others. Getting ahead, and there's challenges in that area too, in the body of Christ, about decision making. We'll get more into that. Now, all these things, now think about it. Think about it. In that chapter also, I didn't mention all this, you know, one third of people being killed in the world. But God said, I'm protecting. There's a protection and covering over all those who have received to get the mark. In the same chapter. Remember, body of Christ, we're protected. But I want you to think about something. Here's those things mentioned at the end of chapter 9. But the key word about all these things is they won't repent, or they won't change their mind about who God is. After witnessing one third of the world's population slaughtered, and they stand in defiance, unmoved by a huge, beyond our imagination, of one third, and that's a lot of people, and they're unmoved. That leads us to John chapter 8, verse 44. Where Jesus reveals us a huge strategy by the devil. Here it is. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks speaks his negative language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, before I get into just some practical things, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about something that was true. Jesus walked the earth. Jesus declared who he was. Jesus told the ones he loved the whole purpose for his coming. Jesus said, I was going to sacrifice my own life that many can come into relationship with the Father. And that happened some 2,000 years ago. And Josephus says, In that generation, from what he can tell, 1 million Jewish people received the message that Jesus was the Messiah. And the father of lies working through the religious body of that day have left generation of generation of generation of Jewish people without acknowledging Jesus as a Messiah. I'm going to tell you something. He's a master of lies. And I'm wondering, as we come in, you know what? It's not that you may be allied to from the enemy. The fact is, you will be lied to by the enemy. And he will try to, twist the word of God. This is core to the warfare. Is we as believers, do we know the truth that sets us free? Do we know what the word of God says? Do we have any defense when the lies come? Because brothers and sisters, the lies are coming, and they will come to you at your weakest moment. They will come to you at your strongest moment, but they're going to come to try to twist the word of truth. The question is, will you believe the lie or will you believe the word of God? And to me, the core in the warfare is that I've got somebody after my life that likes to lie to me. And I have to define what I'm hearing. Am I hearing the truth or I'm hearing the lie? And if I can go forth and know the word of God and define that, it's really important for my life in Christ. You know, I thought about it as a battle. Here's that first century, many Jewish people come to know Jesus as Messiah, and they live their life with Jesus as Messiah, and then some people lied to them in the court. The source of that lying is the enemy, and says, no, he's not the Messiah. And I thought about in a warfare, did you ever hear about psychological warfare? Send out propaganda so the people will believe what's really not true. There's a huge propaganda scheme by the devil that left generation after generation after generation of Jewish people without knowing Jesus Messiah. So how does it work? How does it work in my life, in your life? Well, I guess I'm a pretty good evaluator of my life because I know where I'm at. And you know, just a little side note, I should have expected it, but it came anyway. And it started on Friday night while I was trying. I knew where I was going during the week, and I was asking the Lord, you know, chapter 9 of Revelation, you know, okay, show me more. And Friday night, I usually have God dreams. And this was not a God dream on Friday night. Because some of you know that a couple years ago, I was examined and found out I have aortic aneurysm by my heart, and that's what they call a widow maker. That's where you don't get a chance because you could be gone before you hit the ground. And the enemy got me in a place where I was full of fear, full of frustration, and I didn't even tell Nancy this. I told a little bit about the dream, but it was like, I'm going to take your life tonight. And I woke up in the morning, went right downstairs early in the morning and said, okay, God, we're going to see what you say about that. And I really struggled getting in, as I was going over chapter 9, I was really struggling with that. And I had to get past that attack. You know, to really dive in, because this is not my job to come here and present the Word of God. This is my honor to come here and present the Word of God. This is not a job. This is an amazing opportunity to share the love of God with God's people, to encourage them, lift them up, and lift us all up in Jesus' name. So, now lies. One day in the business world, I was asked to pick up somebody at the airport, and I was to bring them in to do some review of our corporation. And he was from one of the big three. You know the big three. General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler. Now they're almost becoming the little three. but things have changed. Things have changed. And driving to work and talking to the man, and he says, well, you know, I'm going to be spending the night and spending more time with your corporation tomorrow. And he says, now, I need some entertainment tonight. And I said, dude, you're not going to get it. And, yeah, but you don't understand. I need a woman tonight. And I said, I do understand. It's not going to happen. And you're getting into a confrontation with a man that is fully engaged with lies, with a man that's engaged in the truth. Then, as a businessman, guy asked me out to lunch. Went to lunch with him. And he happened to be a big company. It was a manufacturer of power tools. Big, growing account. I have lunch with him. And he says, well, here's the way it is. You see, the salesman that represented our company was killed tragically in an airplane accident. So now we became the sales entity for this power tool company. Began to tell me, he said, well, you know, I had an arrangement with the other man. And this arrangement is we're going to have lunch once a month. Oh, wow. I love some fellowship. You said, well, now, let me tell you about this arrangement. I need a certain amount of cash given to me if you're going to continue to do work with our company. Wow. Lies versus truth. There are people fully engaged in lies. We are a people, hopefully, fully engaged with truth. Again, this is not going to happen. This is not going to happen. And I wasn't exactly prepared for what he was going to say, but he looked at me and he said, I am going to destroy your company. Isn't that just like the devil? That he'll come to us with his lies, and he thinks there's power behind those lies? I said, well, sir, let me tell you a little bit about me. Some years ago, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And because I am a follower of him, I really can't pay for the business. Because that's really illegal. And then he said, sir, you don't understand me. I'm in a position of authority to destroy your company. And I told him, I said, you don't know in the position that I'm in. I am protected by the Almighty. I am loved by the God of the universe. And by the way, let me tell you a little about this Jesus that loves you. I'll have none of that. We're done. I'm going to destroy your company. Well, now you could say, Now you can leave a meeting like that and say, fear or faith? Fear or faith? Fear or faith? No, I choose to believe the God of the universe. I choose to believe the God that can deliver me from all my troubles. I believe the God that sustains and maintains us in perfect peace. I didn't leave rattled. I left that meeting in perfect peace. You know what happened? About a week later, a salesman from one of our suppliers came to see me. And he said, I want to let you know something. So-and-so, he's got to destroy you guys. And that just opened a door for me to share with the salesman the grace and love of God. It was not even months later we got informed by that large corporation that that man was fired. Amen. And in his place, quickly we discovered, in his place, in his position, was put a born-again believer. You know, God has so many surprises for us. But you know what? The thing is, are we as a people going to expose ourselves to a lie? Or are we going to know the truth that sets us free? You know, I got free from an immoral lifestyle. I got free from an immoral lifestyle because I before I gave my life, I grew up in a Christian family, and the enemy started lying at me about sexual behavior very young in my life. And finally, I believed it because I wasn't born again. I hadn't given my life to Jesus Christ, but I believed it. You know, we have a generation now. We have a generation now where we're going to confront people. Nancy, I have had to confront people that say that fornication being a sin is obsolete. There's a new morality. You know what? Fornication is a sin to God. When it was written about it, to this very day, it's the same. Hasn't changed. But you know what? People will come to me and I say, yeah, but you know what? Things have changed. Things have changed. And it's okay. It's okay. In fact, I'm not going to receive anything except that it's okay. That is a lie. That is a lie that has so affected America and Europe and other parts of the world that there is no erase all the definition of moral purity. Well, I gave my life to Jesus. And you know what? That was one of the first things that was transformed in my life. Transformed, and some of you have heard this story before. But one of the young girls, she was a pretty girl, a lass from Scotland. And to make it short, she was a flight attendant, and she was in Milwaukee overnight. And we had not talked to each other for a long time, but she contacted me and said, Byron, I can't do the Scottish accent. I'm overnight here in Milwaukee. I'd love to see you. And I talked freely with my parents. I said, well, Lynn's in Milwaukee, and she wants to see me, but she really doesn't know the new me. Are you sure you need to go? You sure? I said, I'm okay to go. you pray for me, Dad and Mom. But I'm going. I'm going to go. And it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Because already the lie has been dispelled. And the truth was in me. You see, Jesus said, you know, I will write my law into your hearts. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So driving up to Milwaukee, I have to admit that the liar made an attempt, but failed, to say, Byron, one more time. One more time. You'll be okay. No one will ever know. I was reminded in life, there's a young man that we knew from Wednesday nights that probably he heard that one more time. And he took some heroin and died. I did his wedding. And the one more time cost him his life. One of the lies of the enemy for you and me may be just one more time. No one will know. It'll be okay. Fine. You see, he is a very clever liar. And Jesus called him out on that. You're a murderer and you're a liar. You've been a liar from the beginning. And you are the master of lies, but I am going to pour truth into my people to shut you down. To shut you down. So I went up there, found her, and she said, well, why don't we come up to my room and talk for a while? So I went up there, maybe. Not the wisest thing to do, but I went up there and started sharing with her. And every word that came out of my mouth was sharing the love of God and the transforming power and telling her that, Lynn, you don't know the new me. You don't know the transformed me. You don't know the one that encountered the love of God through Jesus Christ. But let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about his love and his grace and his power to forgive, Lynn. Let me tell you about the God that has, you knew me before. I want to introduce you to the new me and who I am in Jesus Christ. The old things go and the new things enter. In that journey, watch out for the lies. Because the truth will produce great fruit. Falling for the lie brings destruction. Just as that young boy said, just one more time, one more dose of heroin. Just one more time. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So, after sharing the word of God with Lynn, I left and came home. Now, the thing is, I came home, driving home from Milwaukee, singing and rejoicing. If I would have fallen for the lie, it would not be a joyful trip home. Because right after you listen to the lie and then follow through with the lie comes what God never intended for you and me. Shame, rejection, condemnation. But I left that room doing and introducing to new Byron. And I left there rejoicing and happy and joyful. and praying for this young woman. Now, the end of the story is, a year later, I got a call from a church in California. So, are you Byron Barclays? Yes, I am. I want to tell you about Lynn. Oh, really? Yeah, I want to tell you about Lynn. She came and visited our church. She went forward and gave her life to Jesus. And she said she knew this guy before and after. And when the new man that she saw, caused her to think about where her life was going. So she visited our church, heard the truth, went forward, and gave her life to Jesus. And she says she met somebody at the church, and he said, I think they're going to get married, but she asked me to call you and let you know what God is doing in her life. So the challenge is here, as we leave, why say this church, this meeting could be transforming to you? We just opened up the tactics of the enemy. He's a liar. He's been a liar. He's always been a liar. And the question is for you and me, guard your heart from lies. Know the truth, and the truth will bring you into freedom. The truth will bring you into freedom. And how do you identify the counterfeit? See, the Antichrist, or the spirit of Antichrist, will take what God says and distort it just enough that you might take the bait. He's hoping that you will, but we can hold up a standard against him. And we can declare back to him the truth. Just in closing, I just remembered something that this is crazy. I'm going to let you know. I end it with that verse, and I had no clue it was going to come out of my mouth. And I wrote here, trust in you. And this is the last one that we'll close, is I had a guy come to, we had some temporary help at work. And this guy, the foreman out in the shop says, man, we're having a lot of problems with this guy out here. A lot of problems. You need to get him out of here. You need to call the company and get him out of here. He's causing a lot of problems here. There's something wrong with this guy. So I called him in my office. And I was a very young Christian at this time, but diving into the Word of God, saturating myself with the Word of God. Genesis to Revelation. I wanted to know all of the character of the God that I was serving. I wanted to know all that he was to me and all that he can do for me. I wanted to know everything I could find out about the God that loved me. And this guy sat in my office and just letting words, little words out of scripture verses. And because I knew the word, I knew that he was twisting it. So I start countering him and saying, you know, that's not what it says, sir. You're misreading or misinterpreting and missaying. This is what it really says. And you've left part of that out, which completely distorts what you're trying to tell me. Then he got up, grabbed the Bible on my desk, and threw it across the room and said, that book is full of lies. That you're the liar. And just at that moment, I was going to confront him, but he was in the office, and I was paged to go out and solve a problem on the factory floor. But I was only out there 5 minutes. I couldn't wait to get back to talk to him, but he was already picked up and gone. You see, not only can the enemy bring lies into your heart and speak lies to you, but be careful about even people that can speak lies to your life. Know the truth. The truth will set you free. Know what's true and what's counterfeit. And in closing, it's not if you're going to be lied to. It's when you're going to be lied to. From here to the day we go and be with Jesus, the enemy, who is a master at lying, will, at opportunities, he's opportunists, will lie to you. Your job is to know the truth, and the truth that sets us free. So, Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this morning. I thank you, God, that you are the God that sustains us, holds us into your amazing relationship. And though the enemy come in like a flood, you are the God that will hold a standard against him. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that we have a textbook that we can go to daily to fill our hearts and spirits with truth. Fill our hearts and spirits with things that the Holy Spirit can use in our life. So, Father God, when we're confronted with lies, Lord, raise up the truth planted in us, Lord, that we'll beat the enemy at his own game. Father God, hold up truth. Make it like our scepter. What I mean by that, that's what's the back of the authority given to us by Jesus Christ. The authority that God has given us. We can hold that up and say, yes, this is what I believe. I refuse to take in a lie. I refuse. And Father God, as we, as a church, hold up truth, hold up what we know about who you are and the God that we serve, Lord, I thank you, Lord, you will give us glimpses of people's lives being changed just because we know the truth. That we know the truth. And Father God, though culturally we can come up against people that are so lied to, are so deceived, that we can present truth to them by the love of God and knowing that we have a Holy Spirit that can dispel the lies that they've received in their life and set more people free. Set more people free in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, when we come to that place in our life and say, we can't, he'll say to us, you can. When we come to those places in our life, when we say, I don't know, like Michael talked about earlier, I don't know where provision is coming, and fear may be coming in, and we can say, no, my God is my provider. I am not going to back down from the truth that you are the caretaker of my life. When he comes to us and say, well, just one more time won't hurt. You say, no, God has something better for me. And I will not. It's like those men in the first chapter of Daniel that said, I made up my mind who I'm going to serve. And if it costs me my life, so be it. But I will never stop serving the Lord my God. You know, I just want to, you know, that one more time is something that should ring in our hearts. I mean, he messes with us with that. It's just one more time. No more times. I'm done with this. I'm done with this. I serve a God that is amazing, always good to me. Always good to me. Know the truth. Be able to identify the counterfeit. And walk in His mercy, love, and grace, knowing He'll never, ever give up on you. Never. So you and I, we don't have to give up on ourselves, because we serve a God that will never, ever, ever give up on you. Holy Spirit, just kind of move here, Lord, in Jesus' name. Set us free. Set us free. Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord. We just expose one of the motive of operation of the enemy. Father God, have us chase after your word, Lord. Chase after your word. Know the difference. Know the difference. Know the difference. Holy Spirit. It's amazing. We plant word in us, and Holy Spirit brings it to our attention. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Almost 12, let's worship Him in spirit and in truth, right? In Jesus' name.